Got your Bibles open to the book of John there from the scripture reading. Turn a few chapters later to John chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at a passage here as the basis for our lesson. As we think about the idea of truth and what is truth, which is the question that is asked here in the verses that we're going to read. But what we need to understand is that truth is not just about something that we know what it is. We have to do something with the truth. And that's what we're going to talk about here in our lesson this morning, that truth demands that we do something with it, that we not just acknowledge it, that there has to be an acknowledgement there, but not just that. It should impact what we do and how we behave and everything about us. And so we're going to talk about what the scriptures teach regarding that in our lesson this morning. But we'll start by reading here in John chapter 18. Jesus is standing before Pilate as he's on trial here. Accusations have been made against him, and he would eventually here be crucified. But the Jews made these charges against Jesus before Pilate, and now Pilate is questioning Jesus. Jesus talked about in verse 36 that my kingdom is not of this world. And if it was, then you know his servants would be fighting, so he would not be handed over to the Jews, but his kingdom is not of this world or of this realm. So verse 37, therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? Jesus says to Pilate, I've come to testify to the truth. And Pilate's response to that is to ask the question, well, what is truth? This may not have been a sincere inquiry by Pilate. Some people may, you know, ask this because they sincerely want to know the truth. In Pilate's case, that's probably not what he's doing here. He's more asking this in a dismissive way, trying to brush off what Jesus is saying here. So, well, you came to testify the truth. Well, what is truth? Who can know what truth is? Well, it is vitally important that we understand what truth is. God is the ultimate source of truth. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. And his word that we have before us in the scriptures shows us what the truth is. Psalm 119 verse 160 says the sum of God's word is truth. So the truth is found in the scriptures. And we understand that. Well, what do we do with it? Pilate, he was just dismissing this, was not going to do anything with it. What do we do with the scriptures? If we understand, and we've had lessons before where we've talked about the truth is found in the Word of God, and I believe those of us here understand that. Well, if we understand that, if we know that, what do we do with it? What do we do with the truth? What do we do with the Word of God? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and the different things that we see in the scriptures, as these may be reminders for us, but these are reminders that we need periodically from time to time, even as Christians, because we need to make sure that we are handling the truth the way that we need to. So what do we do with truth? The first passage we're going to look at is over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. What we do with the truth, what we need to do with the truth, is that we need to hear the truth. Colossians 1 and verse 5, he wrote to the brethren here and says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. How were they able to become Christians? How were they able, verse 13 says, be rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son? How did they go from being lost to being saved? Well, it started by them having to hear the word of truth. If they never heard the word of truth, this wouldn't have happened. And so this is something that is necessary. If someone is going to obey the gospel, we sometimes talk about the steps of salvation. And the first one, typically, as we mentioned, is hearing. We have to hear the word of God. But there is more to it than just listening to it and just acknowledging that it exists, but then, you know, doing nothing with it. We have to be willing to do this. Jesus, when he gave the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, ended it by saying in verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We have to have a willingness to listen. And this is not just about when we're learning the truth so that we can obey the gospel. This is even now. Even after we obey the gospel, even after we become Christians, we have to be willing to listen to the truth. We have to have our ears open to it. Then over in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that we have to believe the truth. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. He told those brethren, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth. That's what we've talked about in the first point. We listen to the truth. We hear the gospel. He says, well, you've done that. After doing that, you listen to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we have to have our ears open to the truth, but we have to believe the truth. We have to recognize that it is true, that it is from God. You have over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you have some individuals here who did not believe. And this is important for us to recognize why they did not believe. Because as Christians, we need to be careful that we don't fall away from the truth and fall away from the faith, because that can happen. You might wonder, well, how could someone who's a Christian turn their back on all that and then get to the point where they say they don't even believe that anymore? How does someone get to that point? Well, we have a clue here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. It says, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but so they took pleasure in wickedness. Why does someone make the decision that they are going to reject the truth? Especially when it comes to someone who has already heard the gospel and already obeyed the gospel, and we'll talk about obedience here in just a minute, but how does it get to the point of someone who has been converted to Christ and then they turn their back on him altogether and say, well, they don't even believe that anymore? How do they get to the point where they say they don't believe the truth? Believe the word of God. Well, this verse says they took pleasure in wickedness. That they've allowed sin to infect their lives and they've given themselves over to that, and the truth condemns them for that. The truth condemns that sin that they want to practice. It condemns that wickedness and calls them to turn away from that. They don't want to do that. And so they make the choice that, well, I'm going to hold on to this sin and do what I want to do, and I'm going to reject the truth. That's how it happens. It doesn't come because they, you know, they're just maybe not sure that it really was true. It's good to question things, and it's good to make sure that we know why we believe what we believe. But to turn away from it altogether, generally speaking, this is why it happens. It's because they decide they want to engage in wicked behavior, engage in sin, and not feel guilty about that, and so they have to reject the truth and turn away from that. We have to hear the truth. We have to believe the truth. Believe that it is the truth and not turn away from that. We also have to obey the truth. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about this necessary step to obeying the gospel. As we think about here, a lot of this we're talking about what we do as Christians, but really these first three points also point to how you become a Christian. You hear the truth of the gospel, you believe it, and then you obey the gospel. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, the living and enduring word of God. You obey the truth. You are born again. This is what the truth is leading you to do. So the truth is not just certain facts that have happened, and you recognize that those facts are true, and so you say, okay, I believe the truth. There is something that is expected of us. That yes, we need to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. that Jesus came to earth and lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross and was raised from the dead and ascended to heaven. We have to believe that. Those are facts that we have to believe. But that should lead us to do something. That we take his word and we obey his word. We are obedient to the truth. We are born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. We obey the gospel. We are buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6 talks about. But then you look over in James chapter 2, and we think about how we conduct ourselves then as Christians. We cannot simply just say, well, okay, I've become a Christian, and then that's all there is to it. I've obeyed the truth. We have to continue to be obedient to the truth. Not just say, well, yeah, I have faith. James 2 and verse 26 says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We have to put this into practice in our life and obeying the truth, which again goes to the next point then, and what we read in the scripture reading this morning in John chapter 3, that we practice the truth. So if we're going to differentiate between what it means to obey the truth and what it means to practice the truth, there is overlap between those. But if we want to try to make a distinction between what one means and what the other means, obeying the truth we could think about as when we obey the gospel, we obey Christ, we become obedient to him and are converted, and then from that point forward, we're going to do what he says. We're going to practice the truth. So depending on how we want to use those terms, we could use them almost interchangeably. But if we want to differentiate them, we can think about it that way, that we obey the truth by obeying the gospel and being converted to Christ. But then we practice the truth. In John 3 and verse 21, he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. We are doing those things that he has told us to do. We are practicing those things that are right, that he has given to us. The New American Standard says he practices the truth. The NIV uses the phrase that he lives by it, that we live by the truth. This is how we conduct ourselves. This is how we engage in what we do in our daily lives. Over in 1 John chapter 1, John talked about this idea of practicing the truth, or as he described it in 1 John 1, of walking in the truth, that we continue in this. In 1 John 1 and verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we do not practice the truth, it doesn't matter what we claim about what we're doing. If we do not practice the truth, but instead we are walking in the darkness, we do not have fellowship with God. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. That is practicing the truth. Walking in the light as he is in the light and doing those things that he has instructed us to do. Well, we've done those things. We've heard the truth. We've believed it. We've obeyed the gospel. We are walking in that. We are observing what he has commanded. As the Great Commission was given in Matthew 28, you make disciples and you teach them to observe all that I commanded. Well, we're doing that. We're striving to do that now. Well, what do we do from that point forward? As we are trying to obey the Lord and trying to follow him and practice the truth and walk in the light, what do we do? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read about learning the truth. And this kind of goes to couple of comments that Carlos made in the announcements about the what we can do with the, you know, taking advantage of different resources and things like that that are made available with our own personal study and development and growth, and even without extra materials, just with a Bible open before us, and how we can study and read and learn those things. That is something that we are expected to do. Yeah, recently we had a lesson on Christian or spiritual disciplines that we are to follow, and one of those is that we have to take time to read and study the scriptures. That's not something that anyone can do for us. That my responsibility here as a preacher is to teach and present lessons and try to do what I can to help you understand the truth. But I can't do everything for you. That each one here, we have responsibility, and I have a responsibility for myself as well, that we need to make sure that we are continuing to study and continue to learn the truth, and we have to make time to do that on our own. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all the men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God wants us to learn the truth. This is necessary in order to obey the gospel, but it's also necessary even after we obey the gospel. Paul, in the next letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, writing to Timothy, and he was obviously by this point a Christian, he was a preacher of the gospel, but he still had a responsibility. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." He had to study in order to do that. In order to know how to accurately handle the word of God, to know what it says, to be able to take it and teach it to others, and also to practice it himself, he needed to make sure that he knew it. In order to know it, he had to spend time with it. And he needed to be diligent in his handling of and learning how to handle the word of God. So this is something for all of us to do, that we take time to study. This is God's will, that we learn the truth. And we have to spend time in it, that we can study it, that we might be able to know it, and then also be able to teach it to others. But then another thing that we do that is going to help us live as the Lord wants us to live is that we need to think the truth. Think about what is true and what He has revealed in His Word. Over in Philippians chapter 4, as Paul is writing to the brethren in Philippi, and telling them, he's just told them in verses 6 and 7 how they are to pray to God and let their requests be made known to Him, so that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard their hearts and their minds, that they are not to be anxious about things. So he says, rather than being anxious, you go to God in prayer, you approach Him in prayer, and you make your request known. You do this with thanksgiving, acknowledging everything that He has done. But then this verse here also plays a part in this. He does make a break here. He says, "Finally, brethren," where he is transitioning, but there is a connection between what he says in verse 8 and what he said in verses 6 and 7. How we can have the peace of God. And also what's going to help us continue that habit of prayer that we need to have. He said in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things," or think on these things. The first thing he mentions there, he says, those things that are true. You think about those things. You meditate on those things. We have to fill our minds with what is true and what is right. And we talked about learning the truth in the last point, which involves studying the Word of God. If we are going to think what is true, that and do that on a consistent basis, we have to know the Word of God. We have a little bit of an advantage, possibly with the technology that we have now. Sometimes, or a lot of times, it can be a distraction too, but sometimes with the technology that we have and the benefit of it, we have a phone that a lot of times we carry around in our pocket. We can access the Bible from our phone anytime that we want to, and do that whether we are out in town or whether we're at home or stop to do something. And sometimes even when we're in a Bible class, we might be able to look up something on the phone. We visit at Parkway usually on Wednesday nights, and I'm not the one teaching the class, so I'm in the class, and a lot of times I have my Bible open to the passage we're looking at, but then I also have my phone sometimes and looking up different things, and it can be handy to do that. So we have an advantage to where it's easier to have access to the Scriptures. But even then, even with that, you don't always have the Bible open in front of you. If we're going to meditate on these things or think on these things and think about what is true and meditate on the Word of God, that requires time spent and a lot of time spent before that, so you could have it in your mind and have it in your heart so that you can do that. And we need to take the time to do that. Notice what the psalmist said over in Psalm 119 and verse 97 about what his attitude was toward the law of God and what he did with it. In Psalm 119, verse 97, he said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." That he thought about the Word of God. He meditated on the Word of God. And he said in the next few verses that his commandments make him wiser than his enemies, that he has more insight than his teachers. He understands more than the aged, and the verses that follow that, because of what God had revealed in his Word. That was the standard of what is true and what is right. And if he knew that, then he was going to be better equipped than anyone with any worldly wisdom and experience to know what is true and right, because he would have it from the source, from the Word of God. But in order to take advantage of that, he had to know it well enough that he could think about it and meditate on it and allow that to become more firmly entrenched in his mind and in his heart, that he could use it at any time. We have to think about what is true and think and meditate on the Word of God if we want to take the full advantage of it. But then once we understand these things and we learn the Scriptures, we know how to handle them, we meditate on the Scriptures. Another thing we need to do with the truth is that we are to teach the truth or speak the truth. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, it says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." The immediate application here is that you need to not lie to the people around you. You not spread falsehood, but you speak what is true. You tell the truth to others. That's an important thing that we need to be doing. But it's not just limited to that, that we just don't lie to people. If we're speaking truth, you speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, that also includes you speak the truth to them. That you share the gospel with him. As 1 Peter 3:15 says, that you are ready with an answer anytime that someone asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Because there may be times where sometimes people have an honest question and they are sincerely wanting to know what the truth is on something. And sometimes you have someone like Pilate that we read in our opening text where he's just dismissive of that and say, "Well, what is truth?" He wasn't really asking, "Hey, I want to know what truth is. Can you tell me what truth is?" That's not why he said, "What is truth?" Some people ask us a reason for the hope that is in us and ask us why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do, not because they sincerely want to know, but because they are wanting to accuse us or wanting to downgrade or ridicule what we are doing and what we are believing. Well, even in those cases, we speak the truth. We'd be ready to give an answer for anyone who asks us for the hope that is in us, why we are doing what we do, why we believe what we believe, to speak the truth. But to do that, we have to, as we've talked about already, we have to understand the truth for ourselves. We have to learn it. We have to study it, meditate on it, so that we can do that. And then we hold to the truth. The wise man said in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." He said, "Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." You buy the truth. You acquire it. That once you understand what it is, and those of us who are Christians, we know what the truth is. We know the truth comes from God. It is His Word. Once you know that, hold on to it and don't ever give it up. We've talked about at the beginning, you know, one of the ways that we, you know, are to believe the truth is not just believing it in order to obey the gospel, but we continue to believe it even after becoming a Christian. And we looked at that passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about those who did not believe God because they took pleasure in wickedness. We may be tempted because of we want to engage in some sin or because we want to compromise in order to maintain relationships with friends or certain others, maybe even family, who have rejected God and are trying to pull us away from God. We want to hold on to those relationships, so we're tempted to compromise the truth. The wise man says, you buy the truth and you do not sell it. You hold fast to that. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. You hold fast to the word of God. You hold fast to the pattern that has been given, as 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 talks about. You hold fast to that regardless of whatever the consequences are that come from standing for the truth. You hold on to the truth. You do not sell it, because that is how we acquire wisdom and knowledge and understanding that comes from God. That's how we can be saved. We have to hold on to the truth. And then the final point we'll look at this morning, over in Psalm 119, is that we need to love the truth. Now, Psalm 119, I want to think about how we can appreciate the Word of God and what the Word of God is. We can look at Psalm 119. It's 176 verses long. And the entire psalm is about the Word of God. We did a series of sermons several years ago. I believe it was, if I remember right, back in 2012. So I don't know who all remembers back that far, but it's been 10 or 12 years ago that we did a series of lessons. We went through the entire psalm, Psalm 119, the 22-part series. We didn't do them all back-to-back. We did a couple lessons a month. But we went through that entire psalm because it, you know, even though all of it is about the Word of God, there are different aspects that are emphasized in each stanza. They're broken up into 8-verse stanzas. The different aspects that are talked about what the Word of God is, what it does for us, what it provides for us, what it requires of us. And we see that throughout Psalm 119. Well, later in that psalm, in verse 163, the psalmist said, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. That's why he was able to write all of these verses about it, because of that attitude. Because he loved the law of God. He contrasted God's law there with falsehood. You know, there's two choices. We can follow after the law of God, or we can follow after falsehood. Well, the opposite of falsehood would be something that is true. That's what God's law is. God's law is true. In verse 160, we quoted that earlier, but 160 says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. But the psalmist said he loved the law of God. Why would he love the law of God? Why should we love the law of God, the Word of God? Why should we love the truth? Because it tells us about God. It tells us about what God's will is for us and what His plan is for us, what His promises are that He has revealed to us. It also shows us how we can please Him, how we can obey the truth and practice the truth. All of that is in there. That's why the psalmist says that I love your law. We need to have the same attitude toward it. So the truth of God has been revealed in His Word. Pilate may not have recognized that, but we, especially those of us who are Christians, we understand that. We know that the truth of God has been revealed in the Scriptures. But we need to do more than just acknowledge that fact. We need to acknowledge that, but that's not all there is to it. We need to hear the gospel and believe it and obey it, to obey the truth. Once we do that, we need to continue to live according to it, to practice it. We keep learning it and meditating on it so that we can have it ingrained in us, that we can recall it at any time we need to, whether it's to answer a question someone asks of us or to respond to some temptation that comes before us. We need to know the Word of God. And then we need to speak the truth. Teach the truth to others. Hold on to it and do not compromise it. And not doing all of that because we love the truth. So as we close the lesson, extend the invitation, the question that we could ask, or each one of us could ask, what are we going to do with the truth? If you are not a Christian, are you going to respond by believing it and obeying the gospel and putting on Christ in baptism? If that's what you determined you need to do, we are ready to help you and we can assist you to do that even today. If you've done that, you've obeyed the gospel and become a Christian, but you haven't remained faithful to Him, that you haven't followed the truth as you need to, then you need to repent of that and pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, we'd be happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.